Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. The month of February, your subscriptions and donations are most welcome. For a sum of $250, you can have your choice between two books. Apollo 8, the book called Genesis. That was when the book of Genesis was read to Earth and especially the United States, needful at that time, Christmas 68. And the other about space colonization. It's coming. It's right in front of us, and we're going to touch upon it tonight. But we begin with SpaceX. What else? Because it's making money. Why not? And it's significant in that I remember from a recent book, SpaceX is paying for everything with Starlink. So this is the machine that contributes to the machine that's going to take us to the moon and Mars. Bob, a very good evening to you. How much, SpaceX?
According to industry analysis, SpaceX literally doubled its income from 23 to 24. In 24, it earned from Starlink $4.2 billion. In 24, it was now $8.2 billion, twice as much. That's revenue in 24. And they doubled the number of subscribers, registered users of Starlink. Of that $8.2 billion, $2 billion of it comes from their military contract for their Starshield sub-constellation to provide secure communications for the military as well. Now, put this in perspective, SpaceX has a $200 million contract with NASA to provide cargo to the Lunar Gateway space station. Use Starship as a manned lunar lander. It has a different contract for cargo using the Falcon Heavy. But it's raised over time about $12 billion in investment capital to build Starlink as well as Starship and Super Heavy. But right now, it's bringing in $8 billion of revenue per year, and that number is going to continue to rise, which means that the company is not only independent of NASA in terms of obtaining enough revenue to build Starship Super Heavy and make a profit, it's in a situation now where the income it's getting, the revenues it's getting each year, almost exceeds all the investment capital it has raised to get this project started. This essentially means that NASA is increasingly becoming irrelevant to Starship Super Heavy's future and SpaceX's plans. They are making enough money from Starlink to completely do whatever they want with Starship and Super Heavy in the future in space. Obviously, if NASA wants to sign Starship Super Heavy or Falcon 9 or Falcon Heavy to any kind of contract, SpaceX is going to be glad to do it. But the situation is getting to the point where SpaceX is a free company, can now do whatever it wants and doesn't need the government anymore.
I add, Starlink works. If you don't have one, you need one. You put a dish on the roof, you clear the trees. It's always on, and it's very fast, both upload and
download. John, let me just add, SpaceX has so much revenue coming in because all its competitors dropped the ball. Amazon's Kuiper system was proposed at the same time to do the same thing, and it's not even launched anything yet. Way behind, and they lost market share because of it. SpaceX has got it. And everyone knows once you've got an internet provider you're happy with, it's very difficult to pry you away to a new company. And so this is going to make it very hard for other companies to produce the same kind of revenue.
In addition, there's a really cool app that allows you to watch the satellites swimming overhead. it puts you to sleep. It's like counting sheep. You see which, there's one coming in. And great fun. Okay, we move from SpaceX making money to SpaceX saving money. An older Dragon capsule. What's the plan, Bob?
All right. Well, this has to do with the Starliner Boeing astronauts that have been stuck on ISS because they couldn't come back on Starliner. And NASA quickly worked out a deal where SpaceX, the next crew that SpaceX would take up, they would leave two people off the crew so there'd be room to bring the Starliner people back. And the original plan was to use a new Dragon capsule. This would be the fifth manned capsule in SpaceX's fleet, meaning it now has a fleet bigger than NASA used to have with the shuttles. And it was planned to launch in February. But SpaceX was trying, building this new capsule, said it needed more time. And so they reconfigured the schedule so that it would launch after the crew on it would launch later, a month later, in late February, which means that the Starliner crew, as well as the older crew that was already up there, would have not come back until till late March. The problem, so what now SpaceX has done is they're still not complete ready with that new Dragon capsule, and they don't want to delay bringing these people back anymore. So SpaceX has agreed to swap out the capsule they were going to use, Endurance. This is a capsule they're going to use for the next Axiom commercial tourist flight to ISS, which was scheduled for later in the spring. They're going to take that capsule, and they're going to use that capsule to launch the ISS crew. And then that capsule, then they can then bring back in that capsule the people that are on board ISS. And therefore, they won't be delayed anymore. They can get back in March. It means that the Axiom tourist flight might be delayed a little bit, but it's scheduled sometime in the spring, and it's not a firm date. And so this gives SpaceX time to get that new capsule really in shape and ready to go.
Another delay, VAST, the space station company. What do we know?
VAST is one of four companies or consortiums that are building space stations, private space stations. But it's the only one that's actually building hardware at the moment, real hardware, with intent to launch. Its plan is to launch a Haven 1 module on a Falcon 9. It's not big. And then follow that up very shortly thereafter with a 30-day four-person manned mission. And their goal to do this is to demonstrate their capabilities so that when they bid on the full NASA contract for building space stations, NASA's going to pick two companies. That's the plan. They put themselves in a good position to win that contract. They have taken no money from NASA up to now to build this Haven 1. Their plans have been to launch it in August of this year. But because of the delay in building a prototype test version, which is now just undergoing testing, they have now shifted their schedule. They will not do the launch of Haven 1 until March of 26, a little over a year from now. And then shortly thereafter, they will launch a Falcon 9 with a crew for a 30-day mission. And that will be no earlier than June of 26.
Boeing, here's the big news. Well, almost. Boeing is notifying its SLS employees there will be layoffs. What's the backstory, Bob?
All right, so there have been lots and lots of rumors that NASA is finally going to do what I and several other smart people suggested 14 years ago, that SLS is a waste of money and should be canceled. And there's lots of rumors the Trump administration is going to consider the idea of canceling SLS and Orion because they're too expensive, they're too cumbersome, they're poorly designed, and there are major safety issues about putting people on them. So these are rumors, though. Nothing has been decided yet. Boeing, this week, blindsided NASA because NASA has not told Boeing anything has been canceled. But Boeing, on its own, decided to send out a notice to all its SLS employees that there could be up to 400 people laid off due to, quote, revisions to the Artemis program and cost expectations. What Boeing was actually putting out publicly is that it now fully expects NASA to make a major change in its Artemis program, and SLS is on the chopping block. It could very well be that the management at Boeing, the new management, has looked at the SLS program and is deciding that it itself can't necessarily afford this anymore. And so it's preparing to dump it itself. I don't know if that's going to happen. That is moneymaker for Boeing because it's a cost-plus contract. But nonetheless, they are basically signaling to the world that SLS is in serious, serious trouble, John.
Underline, Bob. It's not the cost alone. It's bad engineering, bad morale, bad leadership. Boeing is a troubled company. It's not just aerospace. It's everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I want to make a point here when it comes to SLS. Boeing has actually done what it was expected to do on... It has done what it is expected to do with SLS, and it's done it on more or less as wanted. It's the design of SLS, which was not Boeing's design. It was NASA's design. So a lot of the bad management here has nothing to do with Boeing. It has to do with NASA. It's a government rocket. It isn't privately owned, and Boeing doesn't own it. Boeing can't make any money from it. It is mainly building a rocket for NASA to do its Artemis flights, and that's it. And so it's built without profit motive, and it's done to badly designed for that reason. Very expensive, very cumbersome, very difficult to launch. You only can really do a launch at best, once a year, but more likely twice, once every 2 years. That's ridiculous. You can't build a lunar base or something like that or settle the solar system. But that's NASA's fault and not Boeing's. Boeing has problems in other places, so this is once again
the Starliner, Bob. That's Boeing. That's not NASA.
Yes, but that's a separate issue. That's not SLS. I just want to keep this clear because, you know, the desire right now is to pile onto Boeing in every case. You know, a United plane loses a wheel, and it's a Boeing plane. That's Boeing's fault, but it's not Boeing's fault because the plane was owned by United for 30 years. It's maintaining the plane. And so it's the same thing here. Even though Boeing is maybe going to have to lose SLS, the SLS program that Boeing was asked to do, Boeing actually reasonably did what it was supposed to do. Not entirely. They were problems along the way, but it's not quite the same thing as all the other problems that Boeing's have.
ULA Vulcan Atlas V. Atlas V is an older and reliable booster. What is Vulcan?
Okay, so Atlas V is the rocket that ULA has depended on pretty much for 2-plus decades, quarter century, but it's more expensive to use. And so Vulcan was designed and built to replace it and be cheaper and give ULA better flexibility. Now, Vulcan's launched twice successfully, though there was an issue on the second flight. And it has contracts both with private companies, mostly Amazon for its Kuiper satellite, fast satellite constellation, and with the military. It has contracts with Vulcan to launch. But the military is not going to approve Vulcan to launch any military commercial satellites until it certifies Vulcan. And because of the problem on the second launch, they have not certified. And there were launches that ULA was hoping to do, military launches, before the end of 24. They didn't do them done. And now it appears that the decision of the military to certify is delayed even more. So ULA has decided to de-stack the Vulcan that was on the launch pad and replace it with an Atlas V, which will be carrying Amazon Kuiper Internet satellites for launch. And so that will be its first launch, an Atlas V. This indicates once again that problem on the last Vulcan launch, which was one of the side boosters, nozzle fell off. The spacecraft got its payload into orbit, but that's a problem. The nozzle shouldn't fall off. The military is really looking at that closely, and so it has not certified. I think ULA should try to get Vulcan launched for a commercial company to try to get certified. That would be the smarter thing to do, but they're going to fly launch Atlas V instead.
Quickly. Germany wants an offshore launch platform. Why?
Well, they want a spaceport, and they don't have any place in Germany that would be a good place to put a spaceport. There is a private consortium that several years ago proposed building a launch platform in the North Sea for launching rockets for German companies, but it has been not getting anywhere. And so the German government has now allocated almost $900,000 as like a development contract to help it get started and maybe find investment capital to build this offshore platform. It's a good idea. You can launch rockets from it. It would get them away from UK bureaucracy and others as well. So that's where they stand.
And finally, the Falklands, the Falkland Islands is famous for a war that happened in the 20th century, but right now it needs to choose between one web that's not much and a Starlink that's everywhere. That doesn't sound like much of a problem to figure out.
The real issue is that, according to the law in the Falklands, there is a monopoly. They have a telecommunications company in the Falklands that has a monopoly on how they communicate. And the government signed a deal with OneWeb, which it hasn't delivered, to provide an alternative service. So the people in the Falklands have been getting illegal Starlink terminals and using it without permission, without license permission. And they're now sending out a petition to tell the government, we want the right to use Starlink if we want to. And that's where it stands.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.